Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host, and our guest today is Dr. Jamie Morin, Assistant Secretary of the Air Force for Financial Management. Also joining us from IBM is John Bonglis. So, Dr. Morin, I talk a lot with my guests about the use of collaboration and partnerships among agencies and the private sector to achieve mission results. I was wondering, how are you leveraging partnerships to improve management operations and program outcomes?
Well, the key area where we're focused on partnership right now is, of course, this audit readiness acceleration. Secretary Panetta's challenge to accelerate our assertion of audit readiness to 2014 has driven all the military services to look very rigorously at the plans we had built aimed at achieving the legal deadline of 2017 and figuring out how we can leverage one another's work even more aggressively. And equally importantly, how we can synchronize our work in order to make the job easier for one of our key partners, the Defense Finance and Accounting Service. The Army, the Air Force, the Navy, and the Marine Corps all have their own schedules, their own plans. We're all supported by the same folks at the Defense Finance and Accounting Service. And so given limited resources, that runs the risk of forcing them to prioritize everything at once, which of course means prioritizing nothing. We are working to synchronize our plans, mindful that you can't have complete synchronization if you're pressing aggressively towards a date. We each have to run our own race. But we need to hit some of the same pit stops along the way at the same time so that we're getting efficient support from that key partner. We're also very mindful of the fact that fundamentally most of our end-to-end business processes in defense financial management are similar, whether it's the Army, the Air Force, the Navy, the Marine Corps. We use different systems. We have some different processes at a micro level, but fundamentally we are hiring people, paying them, retiring them. We're drawing some key lessons from the auditor reports that they've received and making sure we're triple checking those same issues on our front so that we can learn from their mistakes and not make them ourselves to the maximum extent possible.
What do you think some key characteristics of an effective CFO would be in this role?
Oh, I'm not sure I'm equipped to opine on that. I have to ask my boss if I'm an effective CFO. I think building a consensus on issues but not being afraid to make decisions when required. I think a very frank and direct approach to problems. We need to not let problems fester, and they need to be addressed head on when they come up. I think there's a need to understand structuring of decisions. When you're making hundreds of decisions about a variety of disparate programs and efforts, the way you pull those decisions together, the order in which you address them, that all matters. That helps to determine the outcomes. CFOs need to be conscious of that and need to structure decisions in a way that advances strategic priorities rather than allow the pop-up issue of the moment to distract from a strategic priority. That's a lot easier to say than to do, but that's something we strive to do.
Well, clearly, this is serious business and it's not easy. But given, and lastly, from I think my set is the critical mission that the Air Force has and your office's requirements to have probably more of a technical skill set and expertise. Could you describe a little bit for our listeners what you're doing to ensure that the workforce is technical and competent and ready to meet the challenges both of today and tomorrow?
Well, that's a great question, and that's something I've been working very closely with Mr. Hale on, our DOD comptroller. He and I have been working along with our counterparts on moving towards a certification program for defense financial managers that is loosely modeled on the acquisition workforces programs under the APDP program, as it's referred to. We are seeking to build that level of credentialing and a common set of knowledge conveyed through key courses that will help our financial managers have the skills they need and the credibility they need to be effective in leading change as we move toward audit readiness, and effective in balancing resources in a tricky environment. Some of the key principles that I keep in mind for that effort are that we've got to reach out and touch the whole force. We can't limit ourselves to just a handful. We can't limit ourselves to just the tip of the iceberg. We've got to get the whole iceberg, or as near to it as possible. And that requires thinking about delivery models for training and education that get beyond just plopping people down in a classroom. It requires thinking about continuous learning over a lifetime or a full career. And it requires thinking about how to mentor and advise the civilian and military staff at each stage of their career. We have to continue to inculcate strong norms for career development and mentoring at every level. And it requires getting down to that first line supervisor. We use a lot of different techniques to do that, but it's a critical effort if we're going to achieve the audit readiness and if we're going to be good stewards in a tough fiscal environment.
Jamie, I'd like to turn to the future, sort of your crystal ball, if you will. What are some of the major opportunities and perhaps challenges your organization will encounter in the future, and how do you envision evolving to meet those challenges?
There are a couple pieces I'd like to highlight. The first among them is that we are continuing to move towards more automation in some of our routine processes. I've talked about those 13,000 folks doing the business of Air Force financial management every day. Some share of those folks are doing what we'd call transactional work. And to the maximum extent possible, we need to figure out how to use our human resources for higher order tasks, things like properly encapsulating diverse and complicated financial information so that executives can make the best use of it, what we like to call decision support. So we're working on gradually moving away from those transactional tasks. It is a long-term process, though, because so many of the efforts to do that are dependent on systems modernization, which in government and in the Department of Defense is not a quick matter. Some of the transactions we do are, reflect some very complicated regulations, interpretation of law and rules that ultimately you probably can't automate because it requires almost a lawyer to assess many of these, many of our financial entitlements. So we automate where we can, and we've got to repurpose folks and train them up so that they can be skilled in areas that go beyond transactional. The second thing I'd like to highlight is a need to inculcate a tradition and a responsibility of leaning forward and bringing financial issues to the fore, bringing resource allocation issues to the fore. It is easy in the financial management community, where you're an expert on very few of the issues that you're called upon to address, because you're dealing with operational questions, you're dealing with IT questions, you're dealing with, employment of force questions. You support the entire enterprise. You can never be expert on the entire enterprise. It's easy to lean back and say, I will accept the expert's ideas, whether it's the logistics experts or the fighter pilots or the personnelists, I'll accept their ideas and we will figure out how to resource them. To bring that true enterprise-level perspective to leaders, whether they're leaders at a base or squadron, whether they're leaders at a major command, or whether they're leaders at headquarters, requires reaching across those silos of expertise and pulling together the combined perspective. And that's what a CFO at whatever level is there for. And so we need to lean forward and take that on.
That's a wonderful perspective. I want to get your advice. What advice would you give to someone who's thinking about a career in public service?
Take it. It is a wonderful opportunity. I grew up with some good examples of public service, and it's something that was inculcated in me as an honorable calling from childhood on. My high school, frankly, had a very strong tradition of folks going into public service, whether it was military, government, or other, or in the nonprofit sector. And I think it's immensely rewarding. You're not gonna you're not going to make millions, but you can really make a difference. And especially working in national security, where the nation faces so many challenges and we have so much work to do to ensure that our taxpayers get the maximum value for every dollar they put into the defense enterprise, there are just huge opportunities to really contribute. And it can be enormously personally rewarding.
That's a wonderful perspective, and this has been a rich conversation. I want to thank you for your time today. But more importantly, John and I would like to thank you for your dedicated service to the country.
It's very much my pleasure. It's a wonderful country to serve.
This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with Dr. Jamie Moore, Assistant Secretary of the Air Force for Financial Management and Comptroller. My co-host from IBM has been John Vonglis. Be sure to join us next week for another informative, insightful, an in-depth conversation on improving government effectiveness. For the Business of Government Hour, I'm Michael Keegan, and thanks for joining us.
This has been the Business of Government Hour. Be sure to visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and get a transcript of today's conversation. Until next week, it's businessofgovernment.org.